Hey there, gals. This is Donnie Van Zandt from 38 Special, and I'm just wanted to wish you a congratulations on 200 podcasts of Will's Band of the Week. You guys are great, and you keep up the good work. You hear? Hey, do I get a royalty every podcast? Yeah, we should look into that. Okay.
This is Will's Band of the Week for September 8th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Chris.
Here I am.
By my count, and I think other people's counts, we're at number 200. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
200. What does that say about us? Just that we're kind of crazy? Like, I think a lot of podcasts, they would, if they hit number 200, they'd be like, you know, that's it. That's enough. They would never hit 200 because at a certain point, they'd probably be at like number 40 or 50. They'd be thinking, why keep doing this if nobody's listening? But we are rebels. We're rebels, so we don't care if anybody's listening, right?
No, we have one podcast for one podcast for every listener.
Right.
Now, everybody listening to this podcast can say each episode is just for them. They each have their own episode.
That's true. We should go back and assign them so that they can actually, you know, kind of take ownership of one.
If you would like to claim an episode, please send $1 to Barrett Kilmer.
Yay.
Care of Christian M. Schneider.
Oh. Well, you know who can claim this one is Nicholas Ogborn.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he gets this one for
sure. Whose voice
you
heard on the intro.
That's right. We assume it's his voice. Unless he got Donnie Van Zandt in the studio down there in Melbourne.
I don't know what our Australian friend. And I have to say, that's actually a pretty good American accent.
Yes,
yes
Southern
it
American.
Is.
Yeah.
I can't do an Australian accent.
No, I would. I would shame myself shame Australia.
I don't.
They'd ban me.
Accents. Yeah.
We're not even going to try.
But
nope.
Why don't you try, Will? Just say.
No, I'm not going to do it.
We'll do another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Australian accent.
I would regret that. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. But so we got like a little package from Nicholas Ogborn this week. So he sent that recording, and he sent us this pretty fun email, and he also sent us a picture of Fox. So it was pretty cool. I think maybe we should put the picture of Fox up on the web page for the episode. You think?
Sure.
Yeah.
And, he's the official baby of the Will's Band of the Week podcast. So
he is. And
that's right.
Maybe we ought to read that email. Do you think? It's pretty entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah, you got nominated Chris to read that one.
Chris has, hopefully he's got it over there.
Yeah, clearly, it took him probably about a good 3 or 4 solid weeks of neglecting poor Fox.
Yeah.
To come up with these statistics.
That's right.
A lot of research.
Daddy, right. I'm hungry. Look, Fox, I'm listening to the podcast here. So 200 episodes of the Will's Band of the Week podcast, here's how it breaks down. 652 ultra-cool indie records reviewed, 1,283 beers consumed, mostly by Barrett. Would you agree with that?
I, because of one infamous episode, lead in whiskey consumption, but the beer has probably been pretty even. I think we all have the exact same number of beers.
We usually go one for one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think we've somehow left an impression that there's a lot more beer in this studio than there really is.
You guys handle your beer better than me. Like, the first thing that goes is my...
Like what, with two hands?
Yes, exactly. No, my elocution goes right out the window after a beer or two. You guys can hold it together a little bit longer. So probably looks like I'm lapping you guys in the drinking department. But
I thought somebody mentioned that you had the best voice. So at least you have that.
Yeah, the golden
right, the dulcet tones of Barrett Kilmer.
Yeah.
All right, 951 glasses of malt liquor drunk again, mostly by Barrett. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Really, refer to my last comments right there.
I'm taking a beating here. 827 cups of coffee consumed by everybody except Chris. Correct.
That's about right. Yep.
I was just thinking
that
this week.
Right. There's remember a little trivia for you.
Remember that was one of my New Year's resolutions and I never got around to it. So here we are in September and I still haven't had a cup of coffee, so we'll get that done soon.
Absolutely.
What about the sushi?
No sushi yet.
Okay.
Yeah, still working on all of it. 722 references to the Brewers, whoever they are. 623 bits of quite interesting information about Madison, Wisconsin.
There you go.
Very interesting, interesting city.
The Chamber of Commerce should be thanking us for that.
It should
right,
be.
Exactly. There's going to be an influx of Australians here in the city.
Yep.
People carrying around giant knives and fighting and stuff. 551 times Barrett says, that's a bunch of crap.
That's a bunch of crap. Wait a minute.
Now that you just said it, you actually do say that sometimes.
Yeah. I don't even, when I read that, I was like, I guess I say that.
Probably
but I didn't realize
that. Mostly in regards to things I say, probably.
Yeah.
482 times Chris says, hey, guys, I'm here, guys. Which makes sense given my technological challenges usually.
That is true.
That's right. That's like our podcast version of Can You Hear Me? Can You Hear Me?
And you're the most likely also to be recording remotely, even though two of us are doing it today.
It's because I dislike you both intensely.
Yeah.
He does not want to literally does not want to be in the same room with us. But because this podcast is his path to stardom, and he knows it, that's why he keeps participating,
right.
I think. Yeah.
It all stems from the time.
By the time he gets to your house, his little ankle bracelet starts to beep, 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 and he's got to get back or his PO is going to come and bring him back.
Once Barrett tried to burn my house down, I think that was pretty much it.
Oh, you still, Chris, that was like 18 months ago. You still pissed about that. Really know how to hold the grudge.
I might need another month or two with that one. 363 times Will says, we're much cooler than NPR, right?
Yes.
That's definitely a theme.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 227 times that one of the guys says, we should really form our own band, shouldn't we?
Yeah. It's true, though, right?
Yeah, we do. Like every other episode, somebody, usually me, will say, yeah, we should totally get together and record a song, like an official song for the podcast.
I bet Grant
would have made one for the 200th episode.
We should have. Yep. Grant would be our recording engineer. You know, he's got a little multi-track recorder. He could do it. We could pull it off. Come into the
Let's
studio.
Do it.
So somebody's got to. Chris has to write the words. I can pound on the drums and the bass. You guys can slam some guitar chords and come up with some vocals.
I just just last week I purchased a MacBook Pro and it has GarageBand on it. And I just started monkeying around with GarageBand the other night. So maybe I'll loop together something. I don't know. I don't even know what the lingo is.
Was that your first Mac?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Are you still all over the photo booth? Like, hey, look at this swirl I could put on my face. Everybody that gets a new Mac for the first time is always like all over the photo booth.
I never did that. I have a Mac.
No?
I don't even know what photo booth is.
Wow.
Well, I'm about to become an insufferable Mac person, so just so everybody knows. and 8,557 references to 38 Special.
That's about right.
I think that's probably within one or two.
Yep.
So there you go, as you heard. Oh
hey, guess what?
What?
I'm watching the Lions game. They showed up one of the players for the Lions. His name is Fox.
Oh, wow. Cool. Now that is that's a sign for sure. Oh,
that is a sport we play here in America called American football.
Hey, let's get sidetracked even further because we love to get sidetracked. Yesterday, I'm watching the Wisconsin Badger football game on the Big Ten Network, and the Big Ten Network ran an ad. It was like a public service announcement regarding those give away a book and take a book library things. And there's Barrett right there, like Barrett and your wife and son right there.
We were on TV. I know that they showed that a while ago. That must have been quite a shock.
Well, they there you were on the screen for like one second.
You're the face of the Little Free Libraries?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, we went to the little community center, and the guy that set it up had us put these stickers on there because, you know, it says property of Little Library. Because people go around to those things, pick up the hardcover editions of newish books and bring them out to half-price books and sell them. They're trying to discourage that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, considering you've never read a book, it would seem odd that you would be
a magazine
the face.
Book?
That would be magazine. That would be like me being the face of healthy eating or something, or like veganism.
That's not even fair. I read a lot. Not a lot.
Hey, Barrett, your sound's getting a little garbled. I think you're violating the 11 feet from the router restriction. So
I am.
What you can do.
Let me move to the other side of the couch.
All right, let me read the rest of this while Barrett fixes that. There's also some fiduciary numbers as well. $0, the amount of money millions of listeners worldwide spend each week to listen to their favorite podcast. Negative $21.50. The amount of money the guys earn from each episode, equal to 1 6-pack, hip flask of whiskey, and lawyer's fees incurred avoiding the guy from 38 Special.
Yeah.
And that is true. At least we have our own in-house attorney.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's true. We won't say who it is, but we do have one.
It is not me or Barrett.
Could there be a more prestigious position than in-house counsel to the Will's Band of the Week podcast?
There is not. Yes,
boy, that's prestige right there. I'll tell you.
Yeah, and Chris, you're like our press agent,
right?
Because you work at the newspaper.
That is true. I do, and I get literally 4 or 5 people to listen to our podcast. I was actually at an event, like a work event, on Thursday night, and a very pretty girl came up to me and said, every time I'm listening to like XM stereo, like to the indie music stations, and a band will come up like on the thing, on the display, and they'll be like, oh, there's a band that Chris recommended on the podcast.
Wow.
So she knows like these bands because she's either heard them on the podcast or at least seen like the names of them when we post them. So yeah.
We don't have as many women that listen as we have guys. Right?
It's just such a testosterone fueled podcast.
I think that must be it. Yeah.
That must be what it is. Yeah.
All the talk about football and stuff and we're kind of tough guys. So
We do talk about beer.
Yeah.
Sports and music, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
That means that we're, like tough asses.
That right? is true. And then after every podcast, I punch Barrett in the balls.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. There's a lot of things after 200 episodes. That's starting to get old.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
That's all right. Just think about stopping that pretty soon.
Well, Nicholas Ogburn finishes by saying, keep up the great work. When you guys do get around to forming your own band, make sure you tour Australia. Yeah.
All right.
So thank you for that email. That was very nice. And,
yeah, very, very nice.
And it is it's funny because, like, isn't it, like, the running joke with bands that, like, we're huge in, we're huge in Sweden or we're huge in Bulgaria or something. We are huge in all of Europe and Australia.
That is true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In relative terms.
The people in America just don't appreciate us at all.
No. Yeah, we're like, I can't think of anybody. Somebody that's really huge. An American band that's big there but not here. Whoever.
Also, I bet we are huge in Japan because we are probably taller than everybody there.
So
we're
literally
huge.
Yeah.
There's your...
Put us together, we're like nearly 18 feet tall.
Yeah, approaching 18 feet tall, but
nah, well,
not 16, quite.
17 and a half.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
None of us have a towering presence. Like,
no.
We couldn't be the front man, the imposing front man, 6'5" guy for a punk band or something.
Are there a lot of tall... I think a lot of people get into show business, music, film, or whatever because they are short and want to overcome that.
Could be. And it's hard to tell how tall people are because usually, you know, a good venue will have a stage that's, you know, reasonably high so that you can't
Yeah, you're
really
always
tell.
Taller than everybody else.
Yeah, right.
I saw Bruno Mars, who actually they just announced is going to be performing at the halftime of the Super Bowl this year. I saw him give away an award on the Video Music Awards, and he appeared to be 3 feet shorter than, like, Taylor Swift. Like, he's
wow.
extremely small. So there you go. There's your tidbit of the day.
So I must be getting really old if somebody's performing at the halftime show that I mean, I've heard his name, but I don't know what his I don't know any of his songs.
Yeah, me too. I don't even know.
But see, there's the catch 22 that they have. They always have. We make fun of them for having these old balls, you know, Rolling Stones or whatever. But then when they finally switch it up and have somebody young, none of us old balls have ever heard of him.
Right.
Does he have a band or is he just known under his name?
He's just Bruno Mars.
Oh. Hmm.
And he's got a couple really popular songs.
I thought maybe he was the lead singer for One Direction or something. You know?
No, they all share the spotlight.
It's an equal. It's a like they're yes. all superstars, right? All those bands are
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, there is no other music news that could even come close to the fact that it's our 200th episode, right? So
no.
we
yeah.
shouldn't even try, right? Why don't we? We've got music, don't we? I think we have music to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you guys have music to talk about?
I think. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the grizzled veterans, Franz Ferdinand. These guys. And Barrett's gonna have more to say about this than me, but I'll say my little thing. When I had my like music revitalization, when the iPod came out, and I was like crawling out of a hole of newborn children, Franz Ferdinand is one of these bands. Was like one of the first sort of new bands that I listened to. So they do have that kind of soft spot for me. And,
right.
and they sort of, what, did they have maybe 3 albums or so, and then they kind of disappeared for a few years.
Yes.
And now they're probably old, like, they think they're old, right? But they're probably, like, 35 or something, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't, they've been together for about 10 years, I think, and I believe that this is their fourth, like you said, Will, but I only heard their first two, so they had one that kind of eluded my notice at all.
You know, the first one was huge. That's that had the song "Take Me Out" on it, which you know you can still hear at baseball games and stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of a hit.
Yeah, that was a big hit. And second album, I actually liked quite a bit, but I don't know if people had just gotten tired of their sound or whatever. But you know, the album didn't really sell up to expectations. And then the third one, I think, was you know pretty much of a bomb. So here we are at number four after a bit of a break and. I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
I gave it like one listen, and I wasn't completely blown away by it. I need some more time with it.
I gave it a few listens, and I ended up liking it more than I thought I would. Because it's got like the dancey stuff, but then it kind of has like a pop element that develops about halfway in, which is fun. I guess it's all dance pop, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I like the first two just like Barrett does, and. You know, this has been actually very well reviewed, so
mm-hmm.
I'll definitely give it more time. But
which
yeah.
is actually saying a lot. If when you come back, like when you've gone out of favor with the critics, and then you several years later you come back, you can pretty much expect that you're going to get slammed. So it's quite an accomplishment actually to get decent reviews. I think
right
at this point. So let's play some music. What do we got, Barrett?
All right, I'm going to pick number two. It's called Evil Eye.
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand. The album is called Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action, which I think are lyrics from that song, right?
Yeah. No, not this song. It's from the first song.
Oh, the one called Right Action. See, that shows I wasn't paying attention. I had that in my head. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the words from... yeah, that's right. I just had that in my head. Because on another album we're going to talk about today, I think, has the same deal. Something I was listening to recently, at least. Like, the title of the album was contained within the lyrics of one of the two songs. So I brought it up at the wrong time, but the concept is there.
No, that's just fine. That's okay.
Will you forgive my error?
Yes.
It's another failure of music journalism. Oh, well. So, yeah, that was a pretty, like at the heart of how this band sounds, right?
Right. Yeah, and...
good punchy bass line.
Right, definitely.
You know, Nicholas forgot to... he should have said that I've commented, like, 487 times about how the bass is what makes that song great. Right, I love to say that.
True.
I love to say that, but it's true when I say it. I'm just gonna totally stand by my. Oh, listen to that!
Yeah,
somebody's protecting the house from intruders.
Yeah, it's probably somebody with a baby stroller across the street.
Probably somebody trying to steal a library book.
That could be. Oh, that drove him crazy when he first got that thing, but I think he's used to it now.
Somebody outside insisting that lead guitar is the most important instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
So Will
They're
Six
listening
dog
live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pick a track.
Do it.
I'll go with a poppier one that's pretty good. Track 6, Bullet. Bullet.
Yeah, they definitely have a distinct sound. Like one of the bands that you listen to today and you can automatically tell right away that that's them.
Right. Which I think is a real selling point for any band. And, you know, the other band we're going to talk about, I don't know that you could say that about.
Mm. Ooh, that's a little
I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there. But
considering I don't even know what bands we're listening to today, it'll surprise me too.
Have to pick one that fits that description that I just gave. But
you guys weren't paying attention at the pre-production meeting.
No,
I thought Chris was looking at his phone. Whoa, listen to that!
Yeah, he's objecting to your what you said about me and Chris.
Right. All right, gotta be nicer.
Chris, on your once through, do you have a track you'd like to pick? Or are we going to turn it back to Barrett?
Yeah.
Let's play another one, Barrett.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to say I was looking at some of the reviews, and I'm actually getting this from the wiki site, but one of a writer in Time Out said, the more you listen to this, the better it gets. And that's exactly what I thought about it. When I first put it on, I was like, oh, I just don't have a reason to ever listen to this again.
Isn't that generally the case with any album, though?
It is a general theme, well, but I think it affects...
You can say that's... You'd have to be able to say that that's more so true of some things than others.
Yeah, sure. A bad album will never be good as long as many times as you listen to it. But please, don't let me interrupt. Go on.
So,
well, I think it's
I thought that was valid, even if you guys think that's not.
Chris had to listen to the Y Oak album 76 times before he finally started to sink in, finally.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe this isn't so bad.
A lot of times in the past, all things are kind of, you know, they're growers. You have to listen to them a certain number of times before you start to really like it at all.
I actually used to keep tabs on this. Like, I think there was a Beck album, it was like Sea Change or something, where I listened to it. I counted, like, I listened to it 12 times or something before it finally clicked that, like, yeah, I really do like this.
Yeah.
You have to really want to like it to give it that much time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I came into this, I went out and bought the LP, you know. So I was like, I do have a horse in the race here. I did want to like it. When I first listened to it, I thought, I don't want to listen to this again. I just don't like it. There's nothing here for me. Then I listened to it a few more times running and stuff, and now I get it or something. Or at least I'm used to it. I like it.
Yeah, that all ties into our theory about modern music and Spotify and all that stuff, where if you go out and buy something, you'll be invested in it and really, like, you'll give it 10 listens in order to say, damn it, I'm going to like this thing because I paid money for it. But now if you can just go on and, you know, if you don't like something right away, you just move on. There's always something else.
Right.
Yep. We're almost oversaturated, but can never have too much music, right? You just have to listen to podcasts like ours so you know what to focus on.
Right.
That's right.
So there is a band that gets I've heard mentioned more than any other band when they say, oh, this album's a grower. They always say this about The National. That's like, they always say that. And I think it's because, you know, well, Chris would say it, this never sinks in. But they sound kind of like there's just nothing going on at first. And then you start to get the nuance.
Right.
But Chris isn't about nuance.
No,
apparently.
He wants immediacy.
Yeah. Give me instant gratification or don't bother me. That's what he's thinking.
Since you brought up The National, I'll make another point about this band. You know, The National never sounds, they have really good songs and they're good, you know, good drums and all around good musicianship, but they never sound like they're trying too hard, right?
Right.
But these guys, there's no kind of, there's none of that. They're not apologetic about like, hey, we're trying to make this fun, happy dance music, and if that's not cool enough for you, tough, you know? They're not hiding behind any kind of irony or anything like that at all, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, so if I can pick one, might as well play the title track, since I think that was the first single, called Right Action.
There you go, a sampling of the new album. Can we call it a comeback album? We're going to call it a comeback album, right? By Franz Ferdinand.
Sure.
We'll see how much they actually come back. Hey, Bear, are you there? It seemed like he was kind of notably absent.
I'm back. I had to let the dog out.
Oh, there you are.
All I heard, I picked up the phone and I heard notably absent. Was that me?
I think it was you, yeah. You were notably absent. I called it a comeback album, so are you going to agree with that?
Yeah.
But time will tell whether it is an actual comeback or just according to us, right?
Can you hear me? I'm right by the router again.
Okay, now we can.
Okay.
We didn't for a while.
There's a digital download that comes with the thing, and at the end they have live versions of all the songs, and they sound really good. So
on the Spotify thing, there's like a ton of live stuff I noticed too. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, wait, that's not part of the real album. So I didn't listen to it. So,
right.
But you're saying it's pretty good, huh?
It sounds really good. And, you know, maybe next year if they hit the festival circuit and get some, kind of headlining shows, then I think they could, consider themselves back. But because of the timing of this album, I don't think, they're going to be doing any outdoor festival type things this year, but
yeah, unless we do that festival on the frozen lake.
That's true.
On the Lake Wingra.
What do we call that again?
Can't remember. Probably the Frozen Lake Festival.
Frozen Lake Fest.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah,
we
I like
just
it,
need. We just need some rescue crews on hand for people who go through the ice. But other than that, it's going to be a great time. So yeah, this all goes back to the discussion we had about Lake Winger being about the same size as Grant Park in Chicago, right? And we'd have just this wide open space.
Right.
Just need some major generators for the electricity, but I think the possibilities are exciting there.
They are.
All right, this is the time of the podcast that we say, hang on to your hats, people, because we got two more bands to tell you about. The next one is going to be Crocodiles.
Oh, I've heard of this band.
And Chris brought this to our attention, and I had listened to it a little bit, and I'm going to throw it over to Chris right now.
Well, Chris doesn't have a whole lot to say other than I like it.
It's a catchy album.
What's that?
It's a catchy album.
Yeah, I just thought it was catchy enough. I found out about it because I was watching Spotify, and a friend of mine who I haven't spoken to in like 20 years was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, I'll give it a try. So I did, and I like it.
There you go, social media at work.
That's right. So let's go with, let's play song number two, Marquis de Sade.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to screw this one up. That's Crocodiles, and the song was Marquis de Sade, which contained the lyric Crimes of Passion, which is the title of the album. Okay,
there
got
you
that
go.
One, didn't I? Yeah, that was going to be my pick, too. That's a catchy one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe Barrett is going to tell us what other band this sounds like.
Let's see if he does.
It sounds like it's a ton of different things. I just can't pinpoint exactly. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is like kind of a toned down Jesus and Mary Chain.
They've been commonly referenced. There have been a lot of references to Echo and the Bunnymen in their older stuff. And I think...
had older stuff.
This is their fourth album. And the first three were always like, oh, somebody compared this to Echo and the Bunnymen. I should listen to this. And I'd listen a little bit, and I'd be like, not really inspired, you know? And this is the first one that I've actually gotten into. So I like this one, too, which is kind of interesting. So, right, we were talking about the band that has a, you know, success, and then they fall out of favor, then they have a comeback. This is a band, like, for me, that, like, I never cared about. But now I think this one's pretty good. Pretty fun. Yeah, and I think it's one of those, you know, you can't overanalyze. You just listen to it, and if it sounds good, it's good, you know? That's how I think of it.
Pick a song then.
Yeah. Well, you picked mine, so I've got to pick another one. So I'm going to go with... Yeah, let's go with this one. This is my theme of the last song on the album that's good. So I think this one's good, too. It's a little more shoegazy. They kind of slow it down at the end, but it's a good quality song. And it's in French, so I'll probably screw this up. But I think it's Un Chant d'Amour. For those of you who don't know French, Un Chant d'Amour translates to a love song. So I think that kind of, I don't know, doesn't that kind of highlight the fact that this guy is not really a master lyricist?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those bands probably that if you're like looking for profound lyrics, you're not going to get it from this. But catchy tunes, definitely.
Yeah, that totally sounds like something that would be like in the movie 16 Candles or something.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, during a love scene or something, the... Echo and the Bunnymen type of thing. Yeah, I'm buying into that. I agree.
But I'm a big fan of the John Hughes genre, so yep. Barrett, you got anything to say about this?
I did hear Echo and the Bunnymen, that song for sure. I don't have a song to pick, but overall I just liked it. But listening to this
And then also listening to Franz Ferdinand, I was just kind of struck by, you know, I mean, Franz Ferdinand has a sound that they obviously they're not creating an entire sound without any precedent, but they just have their own thing. And I don't know that these guys do it all to me, but I like it. You know, they have really good songs, and the first one had some kind of sneaky saxophone in there.
Right. They snuck that in. They were trying to sneak it in on Chris, see if he'd notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little trivia. Little trivia thing. The singer has been linked to the front woman of the Dum Dum Girls.
Ooh.
So that's a little thing. So thought the listeners might appreciate that. Let's swing it back to Chris then for another track.
Oh boy. Let's see. I don't even know like the track names well enough to pick one. But well, I know I like the first half of the album a little bit better. Let's go with number 5, Teardrop Guitar.
Crocodiles, I believe from Los Angeles, California. So they're in the, you know, the big entertainment scene out there. The West Coast, which some refer to as the best coast. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good job by me. I picked a good one there. So,
yeah, you did.
And you know, if they're going for that Echo and the Bunnymen thing, it's a little bit like a band trying to sound like the Beatles and calling them Revolver, you know. Crocodiles being right. One of the Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah, you have to wonder if they did that on purpose or if it just maybe that keyed people in. You almost have to think they did it on purpose, right? Like Crocodiles being an album by Echo and the Bunnymen.
Right. Yeah, yes. Then they're not called the Crocodiles. They're just.
Yeah.
Right? Crocodiles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there will be a.
You know, while we were listening to that song, I got a call from JJ and they need me to come back.
You're like
the
being called in.
I've been called away.
Are you gonna bow out of the next band discussion then?
I have to.
All right, work calls.
You're not gonna talk about the Beach Boys, are you?
No, we're not.
Okay, then I can go.
Just take your big screen TV with you and mount it in the shop while you're there, so you can
there you
watch
go.
Football. Right.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'll be missing football. I'll be missing the last quarter of this podcast. So kind of a shame.
Wow.
But
no, we got
to
be wrapping this thing up soon.
In parting, I will say, yeah, Chris is like, wait, what?
You missed half
I'll just
podcast.
Say, I'll as I leave here, I'll say thanks to all the listeners for, you know, some of you have presumably listened to all of them. And we appreciate that. It's been a lot of, you know, it's not even hard work.
been a lot of time, and it's been fun, and I had fun doing it with you guys, and I look forward to continuing. So thanks, listeners, and thanks, podcasting partners.
And we'll talk to Barrett again on episode 201 next week.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
The internet thanks bye. You, Barrett.
Okay. Bye.
Later.
The entire internet thanks Barrett.
Yes.
Yep.
Now he's gone.
He's gone. Well, that's a sad thing. Well, I don't know if he listened to Super Chunk anyway. I don't know if you listened to Super Chunk.
Are we doing Super Chunk?
Yeah, we're doing Super Chunk.
All right, let's do Super Chunk.
I listened to Super Chunk.
I have not listened to any of it, so this is your rodeo.
Yeah, give me your reaction then. You know, Super Chunk's been around a long time. And I've never been, like, the hugest fan of them, but I just sort of like the way they operate. They're getting a little older, and of course, being old is cool, in my opinion. And, you know, they run Merge Records, the label. Mac and Laura from Superchunk are sort of the owners, right, of Merge Records.
So, yeah, I think so.
Like, bands, sometimes they'll just start their own label to put out their own stuff, and they may have done that. You know, they turned it into a legit label. I wonder how much money they made off of Arcade Fire. You know, you'd sure hope that if you break a band that gets that huge, that you should get, like, you know, rewarded pretty well.
But yeah.
But you still get the feeling that Merge Records is a pretty, you know, down-home, indie, mom-and-pop kind of thing, right?
They probably didn't make a whole lot of money with Arcade Fire until they actually, like, won a Grammy. Then people probably started going out and actually purchasing their albums.
And they were still on... was their last album still on Merge Records? I can't remember.
I don't know.
So, well, hopefully they've stuck with them because, you know, wouldn't that be kind of crappy if you, developed a band, your new label, and then the band got big and they're like, see you later. We're going to Capitol Records, you know. That probably happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's a cruel world out there. So,
Superchunk
has a new album. And it's called I Hate Music. And they don't really hate music. You can tell that they kind of like music. And it has, I think it's a little uneven, but I think it has some really, really good moments in it. So track one is really good. It's called Overflows.
Everything that you won't see just swirls around, comes down and buries me. Oh.
Superchunk, still rocking.
Yeah, that's almost a theme of the podcast here.
Still rocking.
Bands who are trying to return to their former glory as Franz Ferdinand. And I think at some point we're going to talk about Nine Inch Nails in the future.
Right.
And I'll just preview what I'm going to say about them is that they had a couple of really bad albums, but now I think they're actually pretty good again. So.
All right, I'll be definitely putting that on my virtual turntable in the coming week. So, all right, that's what you have to have now, right? A virtual. They should have like music apps that show like a record turning while the music's playing. There probably are apps like that. Yeah. Okay, here's another one from Superchunk. This one's called Low F. Superchunk. It's called I Hate Music, but they don't really hate music. So it's definitely worth checking out. And I have a little trivia item about Superchunk. The bass player is Laura, I think Balance is how you pronounce it. And she's not going to tour. They're doing a tour, but she's got some kind of hearing thing where like she gets like this terrible pain in her ears if she's in like a loud environment. So she played on the album, but for the tour, they've enlisted a well-known bass player named Jason Narducci. Does that name sound familiar?
No.
He's played with Bob Mould quite a bit. And I think he's got some other indie rock cred. So they're sure to be a powerhouse live band. So
Very nice.
Yeah, that's Superchunk. So, all right, that's it. That's 200 episodes in the can.
Yes, I should also mention that in addition to being the 200th episode, today is also my 12th wedding anniversary. So,
God, things! Congratulations, Chris.
Thanks. 12 years in the can.
12 years, produced a few kids.
Some of them happy.
Yeah, hope so. I hope at least some of them. Yeah, so, wow, that's cool. The stars are aligned.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's all I've got.
Thanks, listeners.
I echo everything
Barrett says.
Good. I do too. He said it better than we could.
I know.
So eloquent. Not just his voice, but it's just the beautiful words that come from Barrett.
It's his soothing voice as well.
He's a poet. Yeah.
No.
All right. Let's talk to people again with episode number 201 next week, which will be our next edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Later. Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.